Warning. Warning.
This show contains mature content. Listener discretion is advised.
Are you ready to get your mind blown?
One angry New York City Puerto Rican decided to start a radio show, determined to piss the world off by shoving a mirror in front of society's face. He kicked them in the balls.
What are you? Who are you?
This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show.
Crotch Shot Radio Show.
This is not a test. This is a broadcast transmission.
We're going to stay on the air.
And now, the Whippy. The Whippy.
They did it. Well, looks like the gays could get married now. Hopefully, you look, I'm just going to be positive about this whole thing. Hopefully this means this is a boost to the New York State economy with all these homos getting married, running around, going nuts, buying dresses and suits and ties and hiring caterers and stuff like that. I'm hoping this is a start of a good turnaround. Hey, fuck it. You know what? If gays could, you know, adopt kids, get kids out of the system, and raise them to be, productive members of society, fuck it. So be it. Who the fuck am I to fucking be telling people how to live their lives, you know? It ain't my cup of tea, but you know what? Hey, they're not inviting me into their bedroom, so I don't give a fuck. So, you know, congratulations on you guys there. That's all I want to say. Just, yo, respect us, and we'll respect you. So, you know, again, good thing you guys are now going to be represented, and you guys could now legally contract yourselves to each other, which, you know what, not for nothing, I think it's a big mistake. Not because I'm against gay marriage. I'm just, you know, I'm personally doing the marriage strike, because I don't want to have to sign a contract with some chick that's going to take half my shit the moment she thinks that she could do better in the love department. Freaking, because bitches be tripping nowadays. Goodness, I just had a thought. I think it's going to be fucking hilarious. Hilarious when you have the first freaking lesbian fucking divorce. Oh, she's a bitch. No, she's a cunt. She's a bitch. Fuck it, I'm going back to guys. Hey, this could be a good thing too. Because I guess, yo, dude, imagine if two gay dudes, they get married, they realize, oh, you're a cunt. You're a cunt. Calling each other cunts. And then they get a divorce and realize, shit, I've been straight the whole time. Oh, damn, hilarity is about to fucking ensue. Now, all us straights gotta do is just stand and wait. And keep an open eye out. Fuck it, they'll be bashing themselves. Imagine, the moment you freaking sign a contract with someone stating that you are now put together with somebody and you know, the fun is over. You're committed to one person. I mean, that's the advantages gays had. They could just fuck whoever they wanted without fucking having to worry about being in a fucking committed relationship. Dude, as a straight dude, I would love a fucking setup like that. Be able to bang out any chick I wanted. Not have to fucking, you know, worry. And then, shit. And then sign a contract and halt that shit. I mean, guys, come on. guys, gays, gays, guys, gays, guys, leses, come on. Think about it. But anyways, congratulations on everything. So, yeah. Anyways, we're gonna start the show. We got some news today that I want to cover real quick. As some of you may know, I like to cover false rape allegations and inequality between the sexes when it pertains to males. Because, hey, I'm personally affected by this shit. And as some of you may know, I was a victim of a false rape allegation. So, anyways, here it is. This is for you guys out there that are listening that are in college right now. You gotta watch your backs. In fact, more now. Because they just love... They love going after guys that are in college trying to do the right thing. Trying to advance themselves. Trying to educate themselves. You know, so that way they can have a better future. I mean, they try to ruin your life when you're trying to make a better life. And now, thanks to the Obama administration, April 4th directive to colleges that to be compliant with Title IX, they only need the slightest evidence to kick you out. Meaning, they need, you know, until the directive, the vast majority of institutions applied the clear and convincing evidence standard, which means that to find an accused responsible for sexual assault, the school must produce evidence that unequivocally established a very high probability that the alleged assault occurred. And alleged assault occurred. Maybe that's too theoretical a concept for some folks. A prominent men's rights advocate wrote, when we share a beating of the drum on this issue, people are not going to understand this preponderance of evidence thing, unfortunately. It means the preponderance of evidence means the only slight possibility that the offense occurred. So basically, let's say a girl goes to the, you know, the campus police with teary-eyed. Be like, he raped me. That's enough now. That's enough. And look, I've covered on many other shows how, you know, the Duke lacrosse players, the Hofstra players. And I'm not saying, look, rape happens. It does. It really happens. But a lot of times, those women that are raped, they don't come forward. They don't. So they want to throw honest guys in jail forever for their bullshit. And a lot of times they're just trying to hide the fact that they're sluts and they love the taste of cum in their mouth. And, oh shit, I just remembered I have a boyfriend. Oh my god. I mean, come on, ladies. I mean, it's, and then, but of course the feminists want to turn around. It's like, oh, well, it's your fault for having sexual feelings. The girls don't have no responsibility. The guy should be the one that should be responsible and pump the brakes. Look, if a hot chick is coming up to me and says, yo, let's go to my place and I'm sucking the fucking cum out your balls, I'm not thinking twice. I'm not asking questions as far as, oh, you got a boyfriend? No, you want to suck the cum out my balls? Yo, your boyfriend is your business. If you have one, oh well. I didn't know. But it's like if he finds out and says, oh well, he raped me. I didn't cheat on you. He raped me. And throw, you know, and it's my fault. Of course. I mean, the feminists want us in the system so that way we can't qualify for jobs. Because they think that they think we're better than them, which is why they try to put all these restrictions on us, because they think that we're better than them. Fuck, we fucking hold the door for you, we fucking pull the chair out for you, we pay for dinner. Most guys think women are better than us, better than men, because we by the sheer evidence that we do a lot for them paying for dinner, paying to take them out, paying, you know, just doing things that women don't have to reciprocate. Sometimes women don't even have to have sex, and they get all this consideration. Yet feminists think that that's a form of servitude, dumb bitches. And then now you want to throw us in jail so that way it's easier for you to fuck up the system when you bitches can't do nothing right. And by you bitches, I'm talking to the feminists. I mean, I know they're not all women are feminists. I know all women are not, you know, the problem. I mean, trust me, I know this. And you know what, there's some women, you know, don't get me wrong, I love women. But, I mean, the reason why I'm bringing this up today is because I was riding my trike scooter. And it's always these fucking little ghetto girls that have to fucking pop off with shit. They're the ones that have to curse me out, fucking talk, they talk about my body. They fucking disrespect me, like that shit is okay. Like, the thing is, ladies, if you don't like a guy talking about your ass and tits and shit, what makes you think it's okay for you to talk about his body and shit when I wasn't even talking to them. I wasn't even looking at them, I was focused on me trying to get my workout done today. So I just turned around and called them a fucking couple bunch of Craigslist hookers that, you know, their fathers failed in raising them. You know, and of course, one of them was like, oh, I'm going to slap you for that. What would you do if I slapped you? I'm like, and I honestly said, I would punch you in the fucking nose. I would break your goddamn face if you put your hands on me. And they're so quick to jump to fucking violence because they think, oh, well, he's a man. He's not going to hit me. And I'm sorry, I'm a firm believer, and, you know, I got this from my mom. If a woman is man enough to hit a man, then she better be man enough to fucking take a hit like a man. This shit with women putting their hands on guys and shit, I mean, I hate watching videos where, okay, if a dude is with his chick, he's checking out another chick and she thinks it's okay to slap him. Fuck, she probably, you know, I mean, how many times has she probably watched TV and she's looking at all these other guys with fucking washboard abs and she's fucking going, is he supposed to fucking slap her? No, because that's a domestic violence issue. Yeah, buddy. So, anyways, going on with this, colleges don't need that much evidence to fucking kick you out of college and ruin your fucking educational career. Christina Hoff Sommers exposes the war against our sons on campus. The newer regulations should be seen as what they really are. They are not enlightened new procedures for protecting students from crime. They are a declaration of martial law against men justified by imaginary emergency and a betrayal of the Title IX equality law. Yeah, guys, if you think there's equality here, there isn't. And yes, I'm going to hear, oh, well, it goes both ways. It goes both ways. Yeah, take that shit to the View, all right? Take that goddamn fucking man-hating bullshit to the fucking View. Because they love bashing men. Oh, men are dogs. Men are this. Men are that. You know what? I'm a man. And I've never fucking hit a woman. I've never fucking cheated on a woman. I've never fucking raped a woman. I'm the nice guy, but hey, as you quickly learn, the nice guy finishes last. Because women don't want the nice guy, they want the jerk. It's the jerk that they keep going to. They want a guy that's emotionally unavailable. They don't want a guy that's like, oh honey, I love you, because they fucking disrespect that dude. They think he's a fucking sissy. If a man just goes and turns it like, go fuck yourself. Just treats them like shit. That's the one that they fucking pine for. That's the one they fucking cry over. The nice guy, they're like, well, You know, it's like a role reversal. The guy, the jerk is the one that is the dominant one in the relationship. If a guy freaking prostrates himself to a woman as the nice guy and he's thoughtful and he's caring, oh, that's the one that gets shitted on. I'm sorry. This is in case you didn't know, this is the woman bashing show. I just freaking found a whole bunch of articles here, you know, about this shit. So yeah, this next article: judge tells ex-boyfriend to remove abortion billboard. And here's another inequality. So okay, if a woman pokes my condom and we have sex and she gets pregnant because she poked my condom, I'm still fucking responsible for the care of the child that's made out of fraud. You know, they'll still take our child support. Hey, I didn't want the kid. I took precautions. She's stealing money out of my pocket. Well, you shouldn't have had sex with her, said the feminist. You can't have sexual relationships if you're not ready to have kids. You can't, you know, you're on the hook because the poor woman can't raise him on their own. She wanted the kid, obviously. But of course, what if the guy wants the kid? What if the guy wants to fucking take care of the kid? A state district judge Thursday ordered an Alamogordo man to immediately take down a billboard that implies his ex-girlfriend had an abortion. State District Judge James Counts issued the ruling as part of a protective order the woman sought after Greg Foltz, 35, took out a sign on the city's main thoroughfare in mid-May. The billboard shows Foltz holding the outline of an infant. The text reads, "This would have been a picture of my two-month-old baby if the mother hadn't decided to not kill our child." And really, I mean, look, think about it. Why is it, how come the woman has all the rights? I mean, they can steal our DNA. We can't say what happens with our part of the DNA. Well, after it's inside of her, I mean, come on. What if a guy doesn't want to be a father? Oh, well, fuck that. What if the guy wants to be a father? Oh, well, fuck him. Or it's my body, my choice. My fucking DNA. Like, really, there should be a law protecting guys if, hey, she stole my DNA. She, you know, she poked a hole in my condom. Or, hey, look, I want the child. I'll fucking take care of the kid. Fucking have her sign over her parental rights. But, Chris Rock actually said this joke. About how women treat pregnancy, and they have like a tribunal about it. In fact, hold on, let me find this thing for you. I will play it.
A woman get pregnant, she don't want to hear shit from the man. Fuck you. I don't need you. Motherfuck you. Unless she decides to have the baby, then she's like, where my check? That's right. When a woman gets pregnant, it's a choice between the woman and her girlfriends. A woman get pregnant, her and her girlfriends get together, and they have a little abortion tribunal, and they vote on the baby like it's Survivor. And each girlfriend puts in her 2 cents. And one girlfriend goes, child, you should have that baby. That man got some good hair. It's wavy. It's wavy. And the other girlfriend goes, child, why are we even talking about this? Ain't we supposed to go to Cancun next week? Get rid of that baby! And that's how life is decided in America. Now, fellas.
You see, because it's not about love. It's about convenience. Really, because, I mean, I'm really starting to think women are incapable of love. Because think about it. You know, fat chicks, they have low standards because they can't get nobody. So, they'll settle for whoever gives them the right amount of attention. You know, in order to get a hot chick, you have to have a car, a house, and money because, hey, she doesn't want to work. She wants to be able to spend up all your money and have you work, yeah, basically work to death. They'll spend up all your fucking money. They don't give a shit. And, you know, it's all about convenience. Hey, you know, and even then, the first sign they could get something better, they're hopping off your dick and hopping on somebody else's dick and then taking half your shit with them so that way they could continue spending more money and shopping. It's all about convenience. It's never about love. So, hey, guys, play the game. I mean, this is why I don't really respect guys that fucking make kids because, you know, that's just a lotto ticket for these bitches. They're incapable. It's like they just have kids because it's like, oh, well, hey, I just won a win for life scratch off with this dude. He's going to have to pay. Oh, well, fuck the kid. You know, the money I use is going to go for a Louis Vuitton purse. That's child support money. That's gonna help me support my kid. But God forbid you ask to see receipts to see if that money's actually going to your kid. And really, there should be a law. There should be a law where if you don't want to be a father, you sign away your rights, and boom, you got no more responsibility. Because if the choice is all hers to have the kid, then you know what? Fine. Then you should be able. You should pay the full cost of raising the kid. I didn't want the kid. You want it, my kid. You tried to steal my DNA, and if it's provable that she tried to steal your DNA, she should get locked up for attempted extortion. And look, I mean, look, but look, guys, if you do make a kid, if you like have a kid, and you're not wearing a condom, fucking do the right thing, and take care of your kid. I mean, I'm not saying I would do that. I would definitely take care of my responsibilities. In fact, I would fucking make sure that kid, I get sole custody of my children. Because me, I'm capable of love. And I'm not trying to have some bitch corrupt my kin. You know what I mean? Son, daughter, you're fucking staying with me. Fuck that bitch. And I'm not saying that, oh, well, it's cheaper because then they won't have to pay. No. Because I can't raise this bitch to raise my own kid. I mean, really, think about it, guys. If you already got kids, I highly suggest you start fighting for custody, sole custody. Because you know she's fucking corrupting your kid. I mean, I just saw this video on YouTube where this woman, she was a Long Island chick. This dude was like freaking busting his ass trying to provide for her. All she cared about was about the dollar bill, y'all. And, you know, she was treating this dude like crap. And then she wanted to have him killed. But while she's doing that, she turns his kids against him. To the point where his daughter was helping his mother even after it was proven that this bitch was trying to hire somebody to kill her father. Trust me, women will corrupt your kids. If you have kids, they will turn them against you. But anyways, back to this. The billboard shows Futz holding the outline of an infant. The text reads, 2-month-old baby, if the mother had decided, this would have been a picture of my 2-month-old baby if the mother had decided to not kill our child. Futz's ex-girlfriend has taken him to court for harassment and violation of privacy. The domestic court official had recommended that the billboard be removed. But Futz's attorney said his client is adamant about protecting his free speech rights and will appeal. Yeah, what about his free speech? It doesn't have her name. It doesn't have her picture. It has nothing about her. It does not mention her name or her whereabouts whatsoever. It just has his picture. She's having a guilty conscience, and the fucking court supports her stupidity. It was unclear if the woman had an abortion or a miscarriage. Her attorney, Ellen Jensen, said earlier this month, that she had not discussed the pregnancy with her client because that was not the point. The central issue is her client's privacy and the fact that the billboard has caused severe emotional distress. Really? Really? That sounds like a fucking guilty conscience. Does not mention her name whatsoever. You know why? And look, in this article, it doesn't fucking even mention her name whatsoever. It doesn't. And it's ridiculous. You know. Her identity is protected, of course. So, what emotional distress? No, that's just a bitch being a bitch. Anyway, the next article. Woman severs penis, claims attempted rape. So let me get this straight. She performs a violent act, alleges she was raped, and he's going to be the one arrested when his condition improves? I can only determine that a claim of rape trumps cutting off a man's penis. I guess I don't fully get that an admitted act of assault means... You know, seriously... He tried to rape me. Oh, really? Yeah. What kind of dummy just stands there and freaking lets his chick fucking saw his dick off? I mean, come on. He has to either be asleep or unaware, or she's like fucking performing a sex act on him and he's like not even paying attention. But hey. I guess I don't fully get that an admitted act of assault means nothing when put next to the claim of rape, which is not even proven, not even a proven act at this point. I can only agree with Angry Harry on this one. I don't know who you are, sir, but I can tell you what you are worth. If your partner was to cut off your penis tonight, the world would laugh. Yeah, they think this shit is funny. They think it's funny. To have a dick cut off. I mean, imagine after the fucking... Yeah, here the article here from the BBC.UK. A man in Bangladesh is without a penis today after a woman cut off his member and delivered it to police as evidence of an alleged attempted rape. Mr. Muhazmal Hakmazi, a married father of five, is accused of harassing his neighbor, a married 40-year-old mother of three, for at least 6 months leading up to an alleged attempted rape. The man denies the allegation, stating it had been an affair and he was the victim of a revenge attack because he refused to leave his wife. I mean, and of course the family's like, oh, well, why was he cheating on his wife? Good for him having his dick cut off. Really? Okay. And of course it's funny to fucking... dismember a man, and pun not intended. Pun is not intended. To disfigure his crotch. I mean, it's like, why is it so fucking hilarious to fucking cut a guy's dick off, kick him in the balls, and you know what? During junior, when I was in junior high, that was the game the girls loved to play. Let's kick a dude in the balls. And they laughed about it. Like, a dude would be just walking. Do-do-do-do-do. Bam! They thought it was a game. You know, because, you know, it gave him a sense of power. Bitch, I hope if they're still doing this, I hope one dude just gets up and snaps their necks and kills them. This shit has to stop. Because, look, if we're not allowed to punch him in the face for getting fucking dinner wrong, which, okay, I'm making a joke about that, tell you the truth, but, you know, that's wrong. But if you're gonna kick us in the nuts because you think that shit is funny, fuck, your head is going into the fucking pavement and I'm fucking taking away your pretty looks for the rest of your goddamn life. It's really, you know, violence towards men is not a fucking joke. Just because, oh, well, he's strong, he could take it. It's like, come on, don't be fucking cunts. Don't be cunts about it. It's like, what the fuck is that shit about? Anyways, 11% falsely accused of abuse survey shows. This is False Allegations Awareness Month. The following is based on the recent survey, May 2nd to 4th, and certainly puts lie to the 3% stat that is regularly attributed to the FBI. The link to the survey is at the bottom of the article. You guys could go there, you know, just Google it. 11% falsely accused of abuse survey shows. This is from PR Newswire, US Newswire. A national survey of 10,000 Americans reveals 11% report that they have been falsely accused of abuse. The first ever survey of this type probed persons' first-hand experiences with false allegations of child abuse, domestic violence, and sexual abuse. The study was commissioned by Stop Abusive and Violent Environments, a victim advocacy group. Whoops. The survey, I think 11% is low. I think it is actually higher. But the survey results headlined a false allegation summit, which was held at the Fairfax Hotel in Washington, D.C., conducted May 2nd to the 4th, 2011. The survey also found 50% of respondents personally knew someone who has been falsely accused of abuse. In 81% of these cases, the falsely accused person was male, and in 70% of the cases, the false alleger was a female. 26% of wrongful accusations were made in the context of a child custody dispute. The survey shows tens of millions of Americans have been falsely accused of abuse, explained SAVE spokeswoman Natasha Spivak. These persons were stamped with the Scarlet Abuser label, leaving them to wonder whatever happened to the notion of innocent until proven guilty. The summit featured statement by leading stakeholder organizations, including National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers, Homeschool Legal Defense Association, American Coalition for Fathers and Children, National Coalition of Men, and Encounters International. The National Association of Criminal Defense Lawyers statement spotlighted the immense, often irreparable harm caused to our clients by false allegations, not only to reputation and personal relationships, but often to the accused individual's livelihood and even health. The summit also included the emotion-wrought testimonies by four victims of false allegations of abuse. The False Allegation Summit is being held in the wake of the recent Washington Post front page article about Sean Ladigan, a local school teacher who was falsely accused of sexual molestation by a 12-year-old student. The article triggered editorial commentaries and citizens' expressions of disbelief and outrage. So, check that out. Stop Abusive Violence is a victim advocacy organization working for evidence-based solutions to partner abuse. Go to saveservices.org. Yeah. Men don't get that. It's guilty till proven innocent because, of course, we have penises, and the penis is a weapon because all men are rapists, apparently. Makes me fucking sick. Anyways, we're going to take a quick musical break. This is the Karate Shot Radio Show, kicking the issues in the fucking balls.
My heart is full of vengeance. In fact, that's what the end is. Make a pretty rainbow, shoot it down, defenseless. I'm friendless, and enemies are endless. In a burst of your brain, and let the hurt commence. It's chemtrails from my plane, spelling out your death wish. Drown your air with barium till I see your flesh hiss. Invite you to hell, put your name on the guest list. It ain't hard to tell, I rule this world with a clenched fist. This ain't a threat, this is your life relinquished. Squished by a goddess larger than your existence. So when you see me coming, put your gas to the pistons. I'll wage a war harder than Muslims and Christians. I'll make your ears bleed and then laugh while it glistens. Just listen, this ain't about the hoping and wishing. We infiltrate and see, so put your mouth where my fist is. I'm vicious, pressing a blade to where your wrist is. Listen to truth, so while you drowning with the fishes, I'm on a mission spreading the proof like nonfiction.
that was Vengeance with their song. I mean, oops, that song is called Vengeance by Ascended Masters from their Spiritual Awakenings album, out now for free. Check that out. So pretty much Google that, Ascended Masters, Spiritual Awakening. Again, that song was Vengeance. Yeah, we're right back. This is the Crotch Shot Radio Show. Thanks for checking out this podcast, man. Still working on the website, getting close to fixing it. So far, it's been more and more stable. Pretty soon, I'll be able to start doing live shows again. But till then, I am just recording. So keeping it nice and yeah. So anyways, we're moving on. We are bashing women today. But, you know, it's please listen to the words. Listen to the words. Don't just be like, oh, he's bashing women, oh, because men do this, men do that. Yeah, I know. There's some fucked up individuals, fucked up guys up there. I know. But there are shows that fucking are out there to expose guys' bullshit already. But who speaks for our side? Why is it if a guy starts speaking for our side, speaking about how fucked up women are? Oh, you're a sexist. You're this. You're that. Oh, so I'm supposed to accept your sexist belief on men, but if I turn around and say, oh, well, you bitches are not perfect either. You fucking treat guys like you're fucking ATM pieces of shit. And if we can't get you a fucking Louis Vuitton purse, oh, that's proof that we're not men. And I question, really, where the fuck do you bitches get off fucking, defining what it's like to be a man? You don't know what it's like to be a man. You don't know what it's like to fucking have to, like, realize, okay, do you fucking attack this motherfucker with the knife, or you run away? You don't fucking have to, like, make the decision. You're not the type of bitches that make the decision, okay, well, I gotta fucking lay down my life so my family could live. Oh, well, I'm not, or I have to go into battle so my family could live. Of course not. It's like, you trying to make a better life for us is not convenient. Or you going after your dreams is not convenient. Hell, I mean, one of my favorite bands, Section 8 Cartel, they just lost a guitarist. Why? Because his chick wanted him to get a real job and not chase his dreams. And look, respect to their new guy that they got, though, but the energy is not the same. So, the bitch ruined the band. I mean, don't get me wrong, the rest of the guys that are still there, they're fantastic, but it doesn't have that same, like, that same rock, that same aggression the last time I saw them. I'm like, damn, man. It's like, why? Why do bitches get in the way? Why do they think that they know better? They don't know better. They know selfish. That's what they know. They know selfish. They don't know better. They know selfish. They're like, oh, well, you're not, you know what, bitch? You know, and you know what? I got a feeling that someday down the road, this dude is gonna—he's gonna resent her. He's gonna resent her for like, hey, you mean I can't have, you know, I can't follow my dreams? Of course not. Anyways, here, daughter. This is from HarryMackle.com. Daughter of a feminist speaks out. Inside every feminist is a woman trying to escape. And this is written by Sandra Gallagher, so I'm going to be reading this word for word. I am a daughter of a feminist, third generation, so in my world, it was normal that mother had a career and control over her reproduction. When I asked why she would ever have a child, my mother would get a faraway look in her eye and say, I normally hate children, but I love you. One thing you must know is that your life totally ends when you have kids. I was told this over and over, and since I had a pretty good life, I didn't want it to change, so naturally, I never wanted children. As a baby, I was left in the hands of an incompetent daycare providers from 6 weeks of age. My mother stopped her maternity leave and discontinued nursing me because she hated being alone with a baby and needed to go back to work, as if work was her only source of freedom and power. My mother raised me to be somewhat androgynous. She insisted that I learn to ride a bike, enjoy the wilderness, balance a checkbook, and not to worry about meal preparation, household chores, etc. She raised me like a boy and marveled at how strong and independent I was. By 9 years old, I was responsible for arranging my own doctor's appointments, taking public transit, and making my lunches. I never looked to adults for help as a result. I was considered a well-rounded adolescent with a healthy dose of self-confidence. I was told that anything I would try, I could excel at. I had no problem making friends, although most of my friendships were with boys. I didn't relate to the girly girls. Through my mother's glorious Steinem-like quest for equality, I was pretty useless in traditional heterosexual union. And for that reason, my teens and 20s were wrought with confusion as I struggled with my feminine identity. I was far more outspoken, aggressive, and independent than even I was comfortable with. I excelled in mathematics and science and decided to pursue a career in engineering and technology. I entered an architecture school 15 years ago and was one of only 4 women, which felt pretty normal at the time. I confused sexual power with promiscuity and felt empty in all relationships with women and men. Everywhere I went, people were impressed with my accomplishments. This is Casey Kasem. I'm doing the Casey Kasem voice. Back to article. However, no one was aware how out of place I felt. I dated a couple of guys in university, and some just after graduation. Each relationship lasted 2 to 6 months. I was often cited as being the one to blame for the outcome. I remember the last guys I dated pathetically telling me that I was just too strong for them. It seemed that guys in their 20s didn't want to be with girls that seemed to have it all going for them. Despite the loneliness, life was incredible. I had lots of money, drove great cars, always a standard transmission, and happily believed that I was destined to be single and childless. My girlfriend seemed to make similar unspoken pacts. My mother did her best to encourage me in that direction. As I said the words, "No kids for me," I could feel an ache in my heart. I knew it was a lie. I told myself I was strong enough to be single. However, I knew that I craved to be loved and cared for by a man. In my opinion, the type of man I needed was a myth. At least, that's what I was brought up to believe. My work as a technical project manager found me working against women more than with them. During my 20s, I probably uttered, "I hate women," hundreds, if not thousands of times. I befriended women who shared my views, and we received great pleasure by tormenting flighty, clueless, codependent women all around us. Hatred towards women seemed to emanate from within pop culture. It became hip to hate women, and cool to associate with effeminate men. I joked that if women were only more intelligent and goal-driven, I'd be willing to change teams, thinking that this must be the next logical step. My world changed radically when I fell in love with a man who, despite my bravado, saw me as a feminine woman. In contrast, he was what I could call far more masculine than most of the heterosexuals I was dating in the city. This small-town boy who I met online caught me totally off guard. I felt absolutely weak when I was with him. Just by being in his presence, I was amazed how a softer nature emerged in me, which seemed to complement our combined energies perfectly. For once, I felt like I could truly be myself with someone by letting down the tough girl front. I wanted someone to magically enter my life with all the goods and none of the baggage to complement all that I had worked hard for. Instead, what I ended up drawing into my life was a recently separated blue-collar worker with tons of baggage in the form of an ex-wife and then 8-year-old daughter. The thought of taking on someone's seconds did not appeal to me, but something inside me told me to not be so shallow. I decided to give in to the feelings as they felt right, even though they conflicted with what my head was telling me. When I introduced him to friends and family, people thought I had lost my mind. Their assumption was that I was dating a mechanic to learn how to do my own oil changes. I fought the idea of getting involved with a divorcee. I cringed at the idea of having to contend with a kid every other week. But in the end, was seeing him interact with his daughter that helped me dissolve my hang-ups. They were both experiencing difficulties throughout the separation, and being there for them during this time allowed me to fall in love with him and his daughter. I could then see a place for me and wanted nothing more than to give this man more children. As if being guided by feminine intuition, I decided to leave an incredible career to devote myself to making a home and raising babies in the most natural way. Life has never been the same since exiting the corporate world. I don't miss a thing about the nice pay, beautiful office, power lunches, business, travel, etc. While working from home, I was able to learn more about my local community. We had just moved to the suburbs, and learn about alternative birthing options. My interest quickly grew into include evaluating gentle birth choices, the scope of allopathic medical system, alternative education, non-conventional farming and food processing practices, attachment parenting, and I began to question everything. Now I look back and I can't even imagine trying to educate myself on other options from my desk on a lunch break. Before our son arrived, I built up a home-based direct sales business to help bring in some money. Ironically, I now work and sell products exclusively to women. It's taken some work, but I now understand where my motivation to reject women came from, and I see that attitude serves society, but not me. We have all been tricked to devalue the sacred feminine energy. I believe that most forms of suppression of this vital energy are unconscious. However, women have become increasingly hostile to other women. This societal attitude had me seeking other women haters to associate with. I am also biracial, and the self-hate felt towards women began to feel similar to which is too commonly found within the black and other minority cultures. I now see women as my mother, teacher, friend, and cannot imagine a world without their sweet influence. I've been working from home for 6 years, and I am now in my mid-30s with 2 children under the age of 4, and plans for more. I am feeling myself pull away from society so that I can live a life dedicated to nurturing of a truly deserving family. Aren't they all? I cannot imagine for a moment depriving my children of basics, such as my attention and care. The thought truly sickens me. I want nothing more than to provide for them, to prepare nutritious meals for my crew, and to be a delight to my husband, a corn-fed white boy, who works hard physically to provide for us. In my past life, I would have never believed it. If someone told me that my greatest joys in life would be to breastfeed my children, give birth to them unassisted at home, or simply just watch my children bring smiles to the faces of others. These joys are more rewarding than others. I could have imagined in a life without a mate. I'm just so happy that instead of being led by my left brain, I allow my higher self to have more influence on the direction of my life. My higher self was looking out for my true needs and desires. It's now through my heart. lost my place. It is not through my heart and emotions that I trust my intuitive nature, and it's through the balance of the male-female energies in my relationship that adds the excitement and keeps us in this incredible union. I am fully aware that my society, surroundings, and environment do not support the lifestyle I crave. It has only been through my desire to provide a great example of a wife, mother, and homemaker for my family that I had the courage to go against the norm. It has been difficult but extremely rewarding, and I found that I am now meeting more and more women with similar values to mine. Ain't it true? And really, I mean, I remember Glenn Zarmanoff, who I've had on this show many times, he's even said, like, feminism, it discourages femininity. It discourages women who want to take care of a family. In fact, you know, when you look at the media, they like, oh, I'm a homemaker. When a woman says, oh, I'm a homemaker, you see other women like, really? You're a homemaker. It's like they lift their noses up like she's a piece of shit that she stinks. And that's not how it should be. I mean, when women start acting like men and start trying to be men, that's when the shit hits the fan. It's really, you know, and look, the female energy, female-male energy. Yes, I totally agree with what she was calling. It's like you have gender roles. You know, men do this, women do this, they work together. But when you're doing the same thing and second-guessing each other, shit is going to go out of whack. Because you can't have, you got to have, you know, a head of household, which of course is the man. That's his job. That is his gender role, is to be a leader of the family. The woman is a complement to the husband. Doesn't mean the husband is a fucking tyrant. Of course not. I mean, look, if you're married and your wife wants to have kids, you better give her kids. I want children. Oh, well, you better not fight her. That's just how it is. Men, you take care of your wives. You cherish them. You love them. It's like, you know, you take care of her. That's how it is. But, you know, of course, the feminist movement wants to, like, poo-poo it. It's like, you know, oh, men are incompetent. Da-da-da-da-da. You know. Come on. God. So, anyways, this is the last thing, Eric. Last article before we say goodbye. Well, me. No, I don't want to talk about that. Ah, here it is. This is the shit that really pissed me off. Got this chick saying that, you know, trying to make something innocent into something that's fucking disgusting. Jermaine Greer sees evil with when little girls kiss their fathers goodnight. She's at it again. Feminist dragon Jermaine Greer said that daughters learn to flirt by kissing their fathers goodnight. She also suspects British troops rape women who when sent into foreign countries. This is the same feminist who once did a broadcast on a British show called The South Bank Show, in which she discussed the theme of her book, The Boy, about how women should be encouraged to look to young male flesh for pleasure. On the show, an 18-year-old male model posed completely in the nude while Greer waxed poetic about the young male sperm. There are many ways in which a boy is an ideal fantasy partner for a woman. Any woman of taste would have a boy for a lover rather than a man. He's easier to manage. His sperm flows like a tap water, which happens to be a biological fact, and quicker recovery time, and all that kind of thing, more rewarding in all sorts of ways. Conversation might be a bit lacking, but then, who does it for conversation? What the fuck? I don't know what scares you, but that's creepy as hell to me. I don't know. I would love an older chick. I mean, not for nothing. And really, the reason why I love older women is because I sure as hell know I ain't gonna get fucking arrested for fucking pedophilia. That's pretty much it. Like, I mean, and plus, you know, 18-year-old chicks, man, I'm just like, oh, God, really? They're still into Justin Bieber at that age. It's like, what the fuck? Anyways, back to the article. And last year, she suggested a website where women name their rapist. Specifically, I suggest women kept an online dossier. So if a woman had a date with a guy and he did something to her or frightened her and she asked him to stop and he didn't, instead of going to the police, she put him online. Other women could check this dossier, look up the guy, and see that he was, that he has form. Then she can say no, or if she does go, goes knowing it's a high-risk strategy. You see, it's somehow acceptable to allow any woman or girl to unilaterally accuse, libel, and destroy any man or boy by branding him a rapist without even the pretense of due process. There isn't a word for this barbaric idea. And every reader of this blog also knows men and boys falsely accused of rape have been beaten, killed, and have killed themselves. They've been fired from their jobs and lost their businesses. They've suffered from depression, they've lost their wives, their girlfriends, and have been permanently alienated from their friends. Rarely do they ever come out of it whole. And for many, the ghost of false rape claims trails them for the rest of their lives. That's Jermaine Greer. In fact, let me Google this bitch. See what she looks like. Not that it really matters, but still, you know? Of course. Well, she was hot when she was younger. But now she's like... Damn, man. If she's going after young kids... Oh, of course. Wow, really? Yeah, she was hot when she was younger. Holy crap. Yeah, she's posing naked and shit. Alright. Yeah, when she was younger. But now she's just... Like, really, imagine if a chick did that. You know, imagine if a guy was doing that. It's like, oh, yeah, let's go after young girls. That nigga would be locked up. So, anyways. That's my beef for today. Like to thank everyone for listening. This has been the Crotch Shot Radio Show. As always, from my house to your house. Mahalo. Anyways, like to thank everyone for listening to today's show. Come back tomorrow, 10 p.m. Eastern or whatever the equivalent is in your area. We're on iTunes, Zoom, and Zencast. So feel free and subscribe and download free. Love you guys.
I want to take you to a gay bar.
Seriously? Oh, this sucks.
Let's start a war. Start a nuclear war.
What the fuck?
At the gay bar, gay bar, gay bar. Wow!
Seriously, this is just not right.
Isn't that your outro music?
No, that is not my outro.
Damn, they're clowning on you today.
Oh, you bastards.